It's good to see everyone who's joined with us tonight. A warm welcome to our meeting. Now, have my Bible open in John's Gospel. If you have a Bible, you can follow the reading with us. If not, just listen. It's the book of John, so you're about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John, and if you come into Acts or Romans, you've gone too far. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And we're in John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. And I'm reading from verse number 1. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here in John's Gospel. John's Gospel is really the story about the Lord Jesus. And these are some of the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 10 and verse number 1. Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees. And the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. Now down a little there to verse 17. Verse number 17 says this, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And verse number 28, I give unto them eternal life. Maybe verse 27 just for connection. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And just a verse in the same book, the book of John, and chapter number 14, John and chapter number 14, and verse number 6. These are remarkable words that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here in John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let me read them again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we do look to God to give us help tonight as we think about some of these things together. Now, what is on my mind tonight is really a question. And it is a question that maybe you've thought about in your own mind. And I think it must be a question that we would all have to think seriously about at some point in our life. And it's really a question that the Lord Jesus Christ answers for us in John chapter number 10. And the question that is on my mind is this. How is it that anyone could possibly find God? How can anyone find God in this mixed up world where there are so many people knocking your door and trying to sell God to you? And when there are so many religions, and there are so many people claiming to speak for God, and there are so many claims about God. How is an honest person, in this world today, in Scotland today, how are they ever meant to find the real God, the true God? Well, in John chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ answers that question, and he tells us how we might really find God. And these words are remarkable words that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in John 10, because these are the words that come from the Son of God himself. They come from the man of whom we read in John 14, the man who said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." And the one who made that great claim in John 14, that there is no other God but him, there is no other way to God but him, and that if we go any other way but his way, we'll be lost forever in the lake of fire, the man who says that is the man who in John chapter number 10 tells me how I might know the true God. Now this is important, isn't it? I trust that we've all thought at least a little in our life as to what happens after we die. And I trust that we've all thought about what happens when we meet God. I assume that we all believe in God. I haven't met anyone really in New Cumnock, just one man who claimed to be an atheist, but he prays at times, and so I don't really know what to make of him. But apart from that one man, everyone that I've met in New Cumnock, they seem to believe in God. And I presume that you believe in God. I presume that you know that you're not just here by accident or by chance. You're far too complicated for that. Your brain, and even the tiniest parts of your body, your eye and your ear, are far more complicated than any computer that man has ever invented. Even one single cell of your body, something you can't see, is infinitely more complex than any of the computers that you'll see today in the shops. You're very complex, infinitely complex, and you don't just happen to be here by chance. Things like you and I don't just fall together. So you believe in God. And something in your heart draws you to God. Even when all of your life has been spent rejecting him, there is something in your brain and something in your heart, something in your soul that tells you you're a sinner and that you're going to meet God and it upsets you. And not only that, even although every single human being dies, you know deep within your soul that death isn't the end. And you know that there is something beyond death. Well, maybe you've wondered how you should ever find God. Well, in John chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ tells me, he tells me about a threefold test, three ways that we might know that Jesus Christ is truly God, and three ways in which we might really know that he's the only way that we can be saved. The Bible tells me I have to be saved, because at the moment I'm a sinner, and if I stand before God in my sin, I'll be lost forever. I'll go to hell. The Bible tells me I must be saved. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ gives me three tests that he fulfills, that he passes, that shows he's the only Savior for men and women. You see, it's an easy thing to claim to be a prophet, an easy thing to do that. And even over the years, some men have even claimed to be a God. But what the Lord Jesus Christ did was not an easy thing to do. And in John chapter 10, Jesus Christ proves that he's the Son of God and he's the only way of salvation. Three tests that he gives us. He tells us, first of all, and maybe some of these things we'll need a bit of explanation, but we'll spend some time on it. In John chapter number 10 and verse number 1 and 2, he tells us that he comes by the door. He comes by the door. He comes by the door. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, we'll explain that in a minute. It needs a bit of explanation. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you know that I'm real because I came in by the door. I came in by the door. You see, his thought is very simple. If something is worth having, it's worth stealing. And if your soul is worth having for God, then it's worth the devil trying to steal it. And so the Savior says, listen, I'm up front about how I've come. I've not come in through the window. And I've not taken a crowbar to a half-open door. But I've walked through an open door. I've come by the door, and you know it's me. He came through the door. And we'll think about what that means in a moment. And secondly, in verse number 3, he says this, "To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." Now this is interesting. Not only does the Savior say he came by the door, but secondly he says he calls by his Spirit. In other words, there is a power in the person of Jesus Christ that no man has. And the person of Jesus Christ is able to speak to your soul tonight. He's able to speak to your heart in a way that nobody else can speak. He is able to open up your heart. The Bible puts it like that. He knows the very thoughts and intentions of your heart, and he's able to speak to you in a way that nobody else can. You know, a friend of mine was preaching once, and there was a man who had come into the hall for the first time, and he knew nobody. He knew nobody in the hall. And the preacher got up and he opened his Bible and he preached the message of the gospel. He told the folks there they were sinners. And he told them they needed to be saved. And he told them about the great love of God, that God has sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for his sins. And he preached the person of Christ and the need to be saved. And he told them to repent. And he preached from the word of God. I said, how did you get on? Well, he said, I got on well. He says, the man came to the back of the door and he just about thumped me in the face. He said, he stopped me at the back of the door and he said, who told you all about me? Who told you all about me? Somebody's been talking about me. Everything you said tonight, it was just about me. You see, what had happened was this. In that meeting, as well as just an ordinary man preaching a message, God had been speaking to that man's heart. That man got saved, you see. Because my sheep hear my voice. And not only did Christ come by the door, but he calls by his Spirit. And in a way that is personal to you. He knows his own sheep. He calls them by name. He knows you personally. I know most of you in a general way. But Christ knows you personally. And by this book, this is the living word of God, he's able to touch your heart and push buttons inside you that nobody else can do. So Christ, he comes by the door. And secondly, he calls by his Spirit. And might you do that tonight. But thirdly, let me read one or two little verses again from John 10. What do you think of these verses? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse number 17, therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Three things the Saviour tells me that's utterly unique about him. Firstly, he comes by the door. And secondly, he calls by his Spirit. And thirdly, he really cares for his sheep. He really cares for his sheep. You see, in a world today, we've got millions of folk following religion and following religious leaders. But nobody really cares about them. The Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door and they chap your door and they want to sell you something. And then they want you to join something. And then they want you to sell something for them. They want something from you. You go to some of the big churches, it's the same story. They're wanting something from you. Wanting some of your money. Christ is different. Christ starts with what he gives. He lays down his life for his sheep. And the message of the gospel is not about what you have to do to get into heaven. It's about what God has done that you might be in heaven. The message of the gospel is not that you've got to turn over a new leaf to try and get into heaven, because you can't do that by yourself. You've tried often enough, haven't you? But the message of the gospel is this, that you must cry to God, God save me! And that God has taken his son and he had him crucified to the cross of Calvary. He had him whipped and beaten and nailed to that cross because he loved you. He loved you. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. I tell you, what priest, or what pope, or what prophet, or what imam, or what leader of any religion has ever laid down his life for you? What one? What one has ever taken your sin and has suffered at the hands of God for your sin that he might take you into heaven? Christ has done that. He's done that. And so three great things the Lord Jesus Christ says about himself. And these three things will allow me to find the true God in this world. They'll allow me to find the only Saviour that's able to forgive my sin and take me into heaven. Three things he said. I came by the door. And secondly, I call by my Spirit. And thirdly, He cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. What tremendous things he says here in John 10. Well, let's think about the first one there. And again, if you've got your Bible open, I'm looking there at the first two verses of John chapter number 10. Verse 2. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, I'm thinking tonight about someone who's really looking for God. I suppose you get to a point in life, maybe for the first part of life you think you're indestructible, don't you? and nothing ever is going to happen to you. And then you reach a point in life, possibly around about 35, 36, and you realise you're not indestructible. And you realise that one day you're going to die, just like your grandfather or your great-grandfather and so on. And one day you're going to meet God. And then what? See? And so I'm thinking about somebody like that, that maybe for the first time in their life, they're really thinking seriously about God. Now that's an important thing. Because the Bible says this, and I'm using God as my authority for this, that if I die tonight without a Saviour, I go to hell. So the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die without me, you die in your sin, and where I am, you cannot come. You cannot go. Says the word of God, Romans chapter number 3, God speaks again. He says, for all have sinned. I don't suppose we really need God to tell us that, do we? Because we know that. But God tells us, just in case there's any doubt about it. You do meet every so often a kind of deluded person who thinks that they're really above everybody else and they don't actually have their end rang. But God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means that I'm never going to be good enough to get into heaven. And here's a man or a woman, and they're looking for God. How am I going to find God in this world? There are so many people, I've mentioned it before, the Hindus claim they've got 300 million gods. How do you ever find the real God and all that? You've got the Muslims, you've got the Buddhists, and you've got a whole variety of everything. How do I ever find God? Well, here in John chapter number 10, here's a wonderful text. The Saviour says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I came by the door. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He came by the door. In other words, he came in the right way. He came in a way that fitted the way that God had set out that he would come. He didn't come in sneakily. He didn't come in to steal. But he came in the way that you would expect a person to come. You would think it strange if I was on my calls and I came in to see you and I climbed through a window. That would be unexpected. That would be unexpected. You would expect a person coming to see you for honest reasons to come through your front door or maybe your back door. So Jesus Christ comes the way you would expect him to. So what does that mean? Well, for 2,000 years, this is where it gets interesting. For 2,000 years in your life, God had been speaking by the prophets about how his son would come. So that when his son Jesus Christ did come, we wouldn't be left scratching our head, asking ourselves the question, is this really God? Is this person Jesus Christ really the only way to God? After all, there are so many other ways that people claim. Is this person who's dying on the cross at Calvary for my sins, is he really the Son of the living God? Is it really the case that if I believe in him, I'll not perish but have everlasting life? Is he really who he claims to be? And so for nearly 2,000 years, in the Bible, God had set out how he would come. You'll read about it. It's amazing. You'll read, for example, in a book called Daniel in the 9th chapter, you'll read that about 400 years, almost 500 years, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, God had said, and God had written down the year in which he would die. That's not bad, is it? Some of us hardly know what we're doing tomorrow. But the God who's in control of this world wrote down, around about 450 BC, 450 years before the birth of Christ, he wrote down in the 9th chapter of Daniel the year and the month in which Jesus Christ of Nazareth would die. You'll find that in chapter 9 of Daniel. And then in a little book at the end of the Old Testament called Micah, he writes down where the person of Jesus Christ would be born. It would be called a place called Bethlehem. And then in the book of Isaiah, God by his prophet, something in the region of 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus, he writes down that not only would a person be born, but that person would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that an amazing thing? So God's got it all written down, you see. In a sense, God is drawing for us the door through which Jesus Christ would come. There's the time, 33 AD. There's the place of Bethlehem. And here's the person that would come. He would be the Son of God. And page after page in the Old Testament of the Bible, you'll read about the most important thing. You'll read about how he died. You'll read about how he died. I want to turn back and just read one or two of these lovely parts of the Old Testament of the Bible. These are the old bits of the Bible that really speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read just from some of the Psalms. You don't need to turn them up. I'm going to be flicking through one or two. Psalm number 22. Some of the folks here will know these. Some folks maybe not be so familiar with these. Psalm 22 was written something, I'm talking off the top of my head, I think it was about 700 BC, about 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And here in Psalm 22, we have how the person of the Lord Jesus would die. Listen to what it said here. Verse 14 of Psalm 22, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a piece of pottery. My tongue is stuck to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And David there, he speaks about the death of the Lord Jesus. And he describes for us the fact that his hands and feet would be pierced. That he would be dehydrated in his death, his tongue would be stuck to his mouth, and the way in which he would hang would mean that all of his joints and all of his bones would be dislocated. In a book called Zechariah, I won't look it up, but in a book called Zechariah and chapter number 11, it is said there that they will look upon me whom they have pierced. In other words, the Bible records for us before the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world, the very way in which he would die, his hands and his feet would be pierced. And then over in Psalm 129, here's something else about the death of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 129. Psalm 129 and verse number 3 says, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. This one who would come and die, his hands and his feet would be pierced. He would die in a state of dehydration with his bones and his joints dislocated, and his back would be turned into something that looked like a plough field. You're getting a picture now. And then I go into the book called Isaiah. The book called Isaiah and chapter 53. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm just picking out little parts here of the many things in the Bible that are said about the Lord Jesus. Listen again here to Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you get the picture, don't you? It's building up. There are many other parts we could look at, but I'm just picking out one or two. You see, the Lord Jesus says, now that I've come, it's not a surprise. I've come the way you would expect me to. Because God has been writing about it for 2,000 years. I've come at the time you expected. I'll die at the time that it was written in Daniel 9. I've come to the place that God said. I was born of a virgin, as God had said. I am God, as God had said, Emmanuel, God with us. And in a little while, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who speaks to us in John 10, will die in the way that God had said. He would die a death of crucifixion, as David wrote there in the Psalms. His hands and his feet would be pierced, and the Romans would turn his back into a ploughed field, as they would take their whips with the pieces of lead or steel at the end of those whips, and they would take the skin off of his back, and then they would leave him exposed in the heat of the Eastern sun, and they would leave him there with his joints all out of joint, and suffering there in the torturing heat of the day as he was nailed to that cross. You say, why was he nailed there? But Isaiah tells us why. He was wounded for our transgressions. What does that mean, Stuart? That means every single one of those wounds, all of that suffering, was because of my sin. You see, it's a great truth, isn't it? It's a great law that you've found to be true in your own life, and you don't need a preacher to tell you. But sin, doing wrong, brings suffering. It brings trouble. When we do wrong, it brings trouble. Oftentimes for ourselves, sometimes for the folks around about us. But it always brings trouble and problems. And sin has consequences. We can see it in the smallness of our own lives. But God has a bigger picture. And God sees that sin has consequences not just for just now. Broken homes and broken marriages and broken healths and disappointed dreams and children that are discarded and unloved and murders and robberies and all of these things that cause so much grief amongst us. But God sees that sin causes grief forever. Because God is not going to repeat earth and heaven. God is going to get rid of all that offends him. And God will put all sin away from him. And if I don't have a saviour, if I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour, if I've never believed that he died on the cross for my sin, then I'll be put away from him forever. What wonderful words it is that Isaiah speaks. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. He died for me, says Isaiah. He died for my sin. Well, three tests we said that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that we might be able to recognise God in the person of Christ. Three tests. The first, he came by the door. The second, he calls by his Spirit. He calls by his Spirit. What do I mean by that? I mean that God is able to speak to you personally and he's able to work in your life. Our question that we began with tonight is, how can we find God? The answer really is that we can't, but God will find us. The Lord Jesus Christ put it like this, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. God can begin to work in our life in a way that at times nobody else is aware of, and he begins to move, sometimes just through the things that happen to us. But he begins to move and he speaks to us, oftentimes in the sorrows and the disappointments of life. C.S. Lewis, some of you have heard of C.S. Lewis. He was the man who wrote all of those children's books. Maybe you read them at school like I did. Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. You remember that? C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a professor of English literature at one of the great universities of England. And he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Various things happened in his life and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. And one day he had the experience of sitting by the bedside of the woman that he loved and watching her die of cancer. And C.S. Lewis wrote these words. When he saw that in his own life, he saw death and he saw suffering and he saw disease. He said this, he said, you know, God whispers in our joy and he speaks in our pleasure, but he shouts in our sorrow. Suffering is God's megaphone to a deaf world. And as he looked in the face of death and the face of suffering, he saw God speaking to him in his tears. And in his suffering and in his sorrow in a way that he would never listen to God in the times when everything went right. Sometimes God speaks like that. God will speak through his word. A word, this is the Bible, this is God's word. He'll speak through his word. It's living and it's powerful, says the Bible. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Is able to penetrate into my mind and into my heart in a way that nothing else can. We better not spend too long there, but God's able to speak to you. Only you'll know if God's spoken to you. Christ, he comes by the door, and he calls by his Spirit. And I'm looking there again at John chapter 10, verse number 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse number 28, I give unto them, that is my sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He came by the door, and he calls by his Spirit. He's able to speak to your heart tonight. And he cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. You see, I suppose if somebody comes selling you something at your door, or they come on the phone trying to sell you something, there is a saying, isn't there? If it's too good to be true, you're right, it is too good to be true. What's the catch? What is the catch? All religion has a catch, doesn't it? Come and join us and put your money in the collection. Come and join us and do something for us. There's something different about the person of Jesus Christ, though. You see that? He actually cares for his sheep. He starts not by looking for something from you. He starts not like Islam. You know, Islam, it means submission. And what Muhammad wants is you to submit yourself. Submit. That's what it means. Bow down and submit. What's Christ looking for? He's looking to give you something. I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. He has an actual care for his sheep. And not only did he come fulfilling the word of God and fulfilling those prophecies that we spoke about, but he came, and as he came with a single purpose. He came out of love in his heart for you and for me. He came because he saw that should Stuart Gillespie die in his sins, he would be lost forever in the lake of fire. And so he came. And he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross at Calvary. And he suffered for my sin. He laid down his life for his sheep. He laid it down that I might be saved. That he might take his own life and give it to me. So that when I stand before God and my life is open, and all of those things that are sin in my life that you don't know about, but I know about and God knows about, all of those things, they will be forgiven because I've got a Savior that died on the cross for me. I laid down my life for my sheep. He's not just out stealing sheep. He's out buying them. And he's buying them with his precious blood. I wonder if you're one of his sheep tonight. His sheep have heard his voice. He says that at the beginning. His sheep have heard God himself speak to their soul. And his sheep have put their trust and this shepherd that loved them and died for them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How can I belong to Christ? In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, for God so loved the world. And we've thought about how that is true tonight, how he sent his Son and had his Son crucified for us at the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him need not perish but have everlasting life. The gift of God is eternal life, says the Bible. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not something I work for. It's not something I'll ever deserve. But it comes to me because of the greatness of the love of God who took his Son and had him crucified at the cross of Calvary. God calls you to do two things tonight. Firstly, to repent. That means to turn from your sin. You can't have Christ in your sin if Christ died for your sin. He calls you tonight to repent, to turn from your sin, and to put your faith in him, to believe. He that calls on the name of the Lord, says the Bible, will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him need not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if you have that tonight. Everlasting life You'll only have it from the Good Shepherd. And you know it's him, you know he's real, you know that he indeed is the Son of God, for he came by the door, as the Bible said, and he cares for his sheep. And we trust tonight that he's spoken to you by his Spirit. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come into thy presence tonight. We give thanks for thy word. We give thanks for the person of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that amidst all of the confusion of life, and there's so much confusion, we thank thee that there is one that we can look upon who's totally different. One who made, our Father, such a bold claim, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And one, our Father, who proved that this was true. One, our Father, who came in the fulfillment of all that thy word said about him. He came through that door that had already been set out for him. One, our Father, who speaks by his Spirit. Oh, our Father, we know that we've tried to speak your word tonight. And we know, our Father, our own weakness and failings. But we know, our Father, that thou art the God that made us. And the God, our Father, who has sent his Spirit into this world. A Spirit who is able to speak to us. And we pray that thou would speak by thy Spirit tonight. And we thank thee, our Father, for a Saviour who cares. And we do just pray, our Father, that we might indeed come to know him as the Saviour who died for us at the cross of Calvary. So we offer thanks now in Jesus' name.